knowing God through Christ. And there are three ways that I have used in my classes through the years to come to this knowledge. We can get to know God through the life of Christ. We can get to know God through the words, the teaching of Christ. And we can get to know God through the acts, the miracles of Christ. How did he live? Babe, embryo, boy, youth, man, God. Emptied himself, lived the life, was filled by God, ever lives. Sacrificial, step by step, trusting thee, resigning the control of his will to his Father. Teaching what he heard, doing what he was asked to do. So through Christ, we get to know God. Part number one. Through Christ, we get to know the Father. In fact, in the New Testament, Jesus says, I do nothing. I say nothing. I am nothing. What you see the Father. What you hear, you hear the Father. What is done are the works of the Father. And the Father gives his Son to do all this. In fact, in the New Testament, we get the perfect revelation of the Father and not the Son. The perfect revelation of the Son is in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the Father is revealed in his fullness. Part number two, Christ reveals the God of salvation. The God who saves. He gave his Son to save. Not perish, but have everlasting life. His name shall be Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And he does this by living. Then he did this by dying, then he did this by rising, and he does this by mediating. Let's not try to say that the most important thing is the life of Christ. Because if he hadn't died, we would yet be in our sins. Don't even say that the death of Christ is the most important thing. Because if he hadn't been resurrected, we would still be in our sins. And don't say that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important thing, because the whole makes the plan of salvation, which is my most important organ. Brain, liver, lungs, heart. I couldn't live without a heart. I couldn't live without lungs. If I gave you my brain, I wouldn't live. They're all essential. So it becomes purely academic and theoretical to say one is more important. So when we see the God of salvation, we see the God who gave Christ to be a babe, to be a man, to live, to teach, to work, to die in the place of man, to be resurrected on behalf of man, and to meditate now for the salvation of man. Part number three, Christ reveals God's forgiveness. And we get this by looking at episodes in Christ's life. The paralytic in Matthew 9. The woman taken in adultery in John. We see his forgiving nature in what he did. Now let's see his forgiving nature in what he taught. We take the story of Peter coming to Jesus Christ and saying, the rabbis teach that you should forgive three times. You think we as Christians should forgive seven times? And I don't know, but I have an imagination that Christ, with a twinkle in his eye, says, why not make it 70 times seven? And I wonder whether the disciples thought then as what I always think now, of another 70 times 7 in Daniel 9, in which every day For 490 years, he forgave the Jewish nation. And then, when at the end of the period they stoned Stephen, repudiated everything that he had made in the covenant, he had to reject them. Now think of Christ's life on the cross concerning his executioners. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So Christ reveals the God of forgiveness. Part number four. Christ reveals God's friendliness. 15th chapter of John, I don't call you servants anymore, I call you friends, because I am revealing that God is your friend. And God is spoken of as being Abraham's friend, the friend of God. The disciples by Christ were said to be friends of God. What does a friend do? Stick closer than a brother. When you need him, he's there. And he's there in all the circumstances of life. We pick out episodes in the experience of Christ in which he showed his friendliness. When a relative of Mary was being married in Cana, Jesus was there. And he supplied the lack of the beverage. When his mother said, "They have no wine," he gave the best. He's interested. He's a friend of the newlyweds. He's the friend of publicans and sinners. He eats with them. And he enjoys eating with them. So much so that they make a caricature of him and said he is a drunkard and a glutton. Of course he wasn't, but he obviously enjoyed what he ate. When he made friends with Zacchaeus, he knew what it would cost him in social ostracism by the Pharisees, but he went anyway. Salvation had come to the house. Jesus shows himself friendly. Children loved him. Mothers, widows, bereaved, orphans, they all loved him. They all crowded to him. Wherever he went, he attracted because of his kindness and his friendship. What he is doing is revealing God. Part number five. Christ demonstrates God's great love, particularly in sacrificial death. In due time, time of course is Daniel 9, midst of the week, in due time, in precise time, in prescribed time, Christ died. Cut off, not for himself, caused the sacrifice and oblation to cease, to inaugurate the most holy place. Christ died for the ungodly. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. While we were yet sinners, in fact, before we were born and had started to sin, Christ died on behalf of us. And what does this act do? This commends the love of God to us. As we think of God's gift, of God standing there in the shadows, the Father, and watching his Son tortured and mutilated and stripped of his clothes and humiliated and in his nakedness nailed to the cross, and thought this is necessary because he wanted me to be there in the new heavens and the new earth. Doesn't that show what kind of a love the Father has? Doesn't that commend the Father's loving nature to me? In this God commends, demonstrates, proves, advocates, elicits my interested cogitation because Christ has died for me. Part number six. Christ assures us of the victory of deity the eventual, practical, complete victory. Now, when we think of the eventual, one day this will be, what does that require? Patience. This is the patience of the saints, who can wait as God has waited for millennia. We wait unconsciously in the grave. But God waits consciously, much patience, as a husbandman has, to see the perfect fruit of righteousness. Now this victory will be complete. When the last enemy is destroyed, there won't be any more enemies. It will be complete, therefore it is satisfactory. So we can have satisfaction of soul as we look through this revelation of the Father that Christ has given to us.